The mouth only is going to say what the brain tells it. What's on your mind is going to come out. If you can't control your actions, then you're going to say it. It's going to spit out, okay? Right. If you can. So look, let's be fair. Let's say you had a girlfriend and she was overweight, okay? And at the end of the day, you love her to death. She's your baby. Oh, my God. But then when you get mad, what's the first thing you say?
Absolutely.
Yo, fat ass.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, so stop. Now, you thought that. You thought that plenty of time, but you didn't say it. But you thought it when you got mad. Somebody asked the question, was he doing any other outbursts? He was saying a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
Okay? So why all of a sudden when these two black people in front of him, he says the N-word? I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. That makes no sense to me.
Discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A black executive perspective.
Welcome to BEP Live on a Black Executive Perspective podcast. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm Chris P. Reed. We cut through the noise and get straight to what matters. Power, politics, culture, leadership, and the moment shaping our lives right now. No filters, no safe takes, just honest dialogue and real accountability. So let's get into it.
Buddy, flat out. And so tonight, guys, we're dealing with two stories that sit right at the intersection of power and accountability. First, we're going to dive into the BAFRA incident, right? Where a man with Tourette's syndrome had an involuntary verbal tic that included the N-word doing a live award broadcast right in front of Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo while they were on stage. BAFTA and the broadcaster apologized, but the bigger question is, what does accountability look like when harm happens without intent? And then second, we got to dive into the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that struck down Trump's international tariffs. And now the country is staring at the messiest part of it, right? Refunds, fallout, and what this means for presidential power moving forward. So we're going to dive into these things, but we're going to do it with you. So make sure that you comment, you come in, let us know your thoughts. My boy, we're ready.
Hey. All right, let's get into it.
All right, well, look here, man. First, I want to start with something simple, okay? In 2026, we keep acting like harm only counts when it's intentional. And that's the convenient lie, let's be fair. Because whether it's a word, a policy, or a badge, impact is still impact. People still feel it. Communities still carry it. Reputations still get bruised and trust gets broken. So at the BAFTA Awards, the N-word was heard in the room and on a broadcast. We were told that it came from an involuntary tic. And that may be true with my man with Tourette's syndrome. However, you know, we know that matters. Disability is real. Involuntarily is real. But here's what's also real. The pain that the word triggers is real too. All right. So the grown-up conversation is not about what's intentional. The grown-up conversation is about the duty and the care of in that room. Who fought through how to protect the people on stage and the people watching at home? Nobody did that. What systems were in place to respond with speed and humanity, not awkward silence and a press release later?
And that's where we pivot. Now, we jump into the Supreme Court. The court just reminded America that there are limits to presidential power, specifically on tariffs imposed under emergency authority. And now we're in the next chapter. Who gets the refunds? How long that takes? Who eats the cost? And what loopholes will the White House try next, right? When you zoom out, these stories are actually the same story. They are both about power, accountability, and systems that either protect people or fail folks. Whether it's a live broadcast or a federal economic policy, the question is identical. What guardrails were in place? Who was protected? Who absorbs the damage? So tonight we're going to talk about what responsibility looks like when harm occurs, what leadership looks like when the rules get tested, and why my bad is not a strategy. So let's run it.
I love that. Why my bad is not a strategy, because that's a fact, right? That is a fact. So look, let's make sure everybody's on the same page, right? We're talking about, we're going to dive into the bathroom stuff first. So let's play the clip of exactly what happened.
The stars of the film Sinners, Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo, walk on stage to present an award at the British version of the Oscars.
Good evening.
Then, out of nowhere, someone in the audience starts shouting obscenities, including the N-word. Both actors are taken aback.
We're here to,
So who would be so offensive? The foul-mouthed insults came from this man, John Davidson. He suffers from Tourette's syndrome, a neurological condition that causes involuntary motor and verbal tics. Davidson is the inspiration for the critically acclaimed movie, I Swear. The film star Robert Aramayo beat out Timothy Chalamet and Leonardo DiCaprio to win the Best Actor BAFTA.
Robert Aramayo.
Later, BAFTA's host Alan Cumming took to the stage and attempted to apologize for the shocking outburst.
The person who has Tourette's syndrome has no control over their language. We apologize if you were offended.
But for many, that apology was not enough. Unacceptable, writes Jamie Foxx.
While people do have sympathy for the fact that he does have Tourette's syndrome, there's feeling that Black people are being asked to show grace and grace is not being shown to them about how incredibly powerfully just upsetting this word is.
You can think about it sort of being like the worst thing that could happen at the worst time, where, you know, it could even be that the person is worried that, oh, I might say something like that. And even despite their worry and their attempts at trying to control it, it may still come out.
The shocking outburst happened in front of an A-list audience, including Prince William and Princess Kate, who made their first public appearance since the arrest of the former Prince Andrew over his dealings with Jeffrey Epstein. They had no idea they'd be hearing this.
You know, the issue is obviously everybody was made uncomfortable. And, you know, we have absolutely stated and sympathized with the syndrome being real and it being involuntary. And the intent does have a matter there. But we've talked about this before. Free speech is free, but the repercussions of that free speech have to exist as well. And so the concept that this can't happen, or this was even on the table, they had to have known about it. At these things where you have the Prince of Britain there.
Buddy, you got everybody there.
They've gone through scenarios. You
patting people down, yeah. Right? You got frog men on the top of the building to make sure there ain't no bombs, ain't nobody, you know.
Absolutely.
But then you let this happen. And it's not, here's the thing though, bro. Let's be fair though, too. The dude's got Tourette's and we get it.
Yep. Yep.
Totally get it that you got ticks in the whole nine yards. I got it. Did he do it on purpose? Yeah, I don't think he did it on purpose. Okay, so just to be fair, right? Here's my challenge. Okay, there's a couple things. Number one, they replayed the broadcast. Okay, they could have muted it out. They didn't.
They didn't.
Okay, they didn't. Now you can't say certain things. You know, that they don't mute out, right? But in this situation, they didn't mute it out. Here's the other thing, though, too. This is where I have an issue. I was chatting with a brother earlier today about this, right? And, you know, oh, he's got Tourette. You know, he didn't mean to say it. Just certain things come out, blah, blah, blah. That's bullshit, okay? Here's the thing. You say what you think, okay? That's just the bottom line. You say what you think. So he said, when he saw them, he said the N-word because in his mind, that's what he thought. Okay, it's a fact. Why didn't he say elephant? He could have said a million other words. He could have been ticking all day long, said a million other words, right? But he said that because that's what he thought of them. And people, you know, and we got some other clips I'm going to play. But at the end of the day, that's the issue, is that at the end of the day, he saw two Black men, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that's what he thought, okay? And look, man, let's be fair, too. You know, one of God's greatest gifts that he gave all of us, every human being, is the ability not to read minds, okay?
Right.
Because...
Double negative.
Because the bottom line, if you could read what's on somebody's mind while they're smiling at you, all right, you would know what they're thinking. But that's the difference when you have Tourette's syndrome, when you can't stop what you're thinking, versus when you don't. Look, man, if at the end of the day, if me and you had to, we'd be fighting all day long. All right. If we could read each other's minds right here on this show, we'd be like, that motherfucker, I can't believe. Hey, Chris is my man. Right. But blah, 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 blah. We be throwing stuff out all the time. Okay, so that's my issue. Look, did he do it on purpose? No. Disease have something to do with it? Absolutely. Right? But at the end of the day, that's what he was thinking of them. Period. Period. Okay? I don't care what nobody says. Because you only say what you think. And when you think something and you don't have that type of disease, what do? We don't say it. We keep our mouth closed. Even though we may be thinking it, we don't say it because we have the ability to stop and not say it. But when you have that disease, you do not have the ability to stop and not say it. That's why it comes out.
Yeah, my concern beyond that, because that gets kind of sticky with the science and the medicine and all that stuff. My concern was that when the guy came up later and gave a blanket apology to the, I thought that apology was for the audience.
That's a good point. What they, excellent point. Should have been to Michael B. Jordan and they were the ones. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And Delroy Lindo said nobody came up. Them said nothing. So this was just them trying to check a box, yep. Okay, to the yep. audience. But the people that they offended, who it was, he was looking at them and right. said it.
Right. And you know, Benjamin Franklin said, a slip of the foot, you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue, you may never get over. Words have meaning. Words have power. The concept that we, and this happens, this is not just in this isolated incident, it's happened time and time again, we should be thicker skinned. We should be used to it by now. We call each other stuff. You know what I mean? It's
Flat
they
out.
Qualify every Flat way out. That we should just be allowed to be trampled on or talked to any old kind of way. And this, you know,
it's
we
okay.
should be tripping.
Yeah, it's okay.
We should be tripping.
It's okay, right? And here's the thing, though, bro. To your point, look, let's be fair. It, and now you make a great point, right? Is it the act or is it the after the act? Okay, because it ain't the first time a white man called somebody the N-word. Won't be the last time. All right, we've seen it a million times, right? Now, in this situation, it wasn't on purpose. He didn't do it on purpose. Okay, I can give a mulligan for that. I believe, to be fair, even though I thought he thought it, but I'll give you a mulligan and say he didn't do it on purpose. But at the end of the day, to your point, they start coming back and say, well, why are you guys making a big deal out of anything? Right? What's going on? This and that. See, you guys go right to race all the time. What are you talking about?
Yep.
What are you talking about?
Yep.
He brought it up.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
And see, these are the things. And then if you don't say nothing, then what happens is that then you create a scenario where they can do it again and they got right. precedent that you ain't
Absolutely.
Say nothing. Right?
Absolutely.
And so yes, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Absolutely, because you allow it. You know what I mean? Like, here's the situation. When I have ever been offended, I don't take significant offense the first time because you may have been ignorant.
Correct. Correct.
You may
correct,
have correct. Been ignorant. When I've offended someone, please don't take offense the first time. I may have been ignorant. But once you've corrected me,
daddy. Bro, it's one of the lessons I always try to follow and I teach people is that I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Okay, everyone, right? So they may not know. You may not know you stepped on my toes. You may not even meant to do it. It happens. We all do it, right? But if I bring it to your attention, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about, I got a tick.
Right.
I don't want to hear that.
Right.
What I want to hear is, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. And I'll work on not trying to do it again. And then we're good, right? I don't want to hear no excuses, right? Because you just make it worse than what it is, okay? And so but sometimes, man, we're caught up in a, you know, catch 22, because if we say something, we make it too much out of it. If we don't say something, then, you know, you don't remember, what was her name? My girl, Sonia, she came on this show. This was about a year or so, maybe longer. And I don't think we did it at the radio station at the University of New Haven, but we did it. She came into the studio, so it wasn't mm-hmm. virtual. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about the things. It was illusion of power, mm-hmm. where she was talking about how black women in corporate America have these titles. And at the end of the day, they're VP or SVP or whatever the case may be, but they're still treated like they don't have that power. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're beaten down. they're not listened to. We know the game, right? But in that episode, she spoke about how when she was, she wasn't a senior leader, but she was working at a company, right? And they were in the conference room. Was it her boss? I think it was her boss. There was somebody who broke out. I think they had somebody on the phone or something that major. And then somebody broke out and just called the person the N-word. I ain't doing nothing that blah, blah, blah says. Oh, right? Wow. She was the only black person there. right.
Damn. Okay.
And she was like shocked, but she was junior. So she didn't, you know, she was like scared to say anything. But they was just blatant, just did it flat out. Nobody apologized. Wait a minute. Guys, go back and check out our episode, Illusion of Power. All right? You check that out. I can't remember exactly the ending, but if I remember correctly, I think somebody said something to her after. Same thing here, right? Mm-hmm. They said something. They didn't say nothing to her like, oh, my gosh, you know, Sonya's in the room. Oh, you know, it was none of that. All right? It was just like, we say what we say. And then I think somebody, maybe a colleague or somebody came up to her later and apologized, whatever the case may be, right? But she carried that.
Yep.
Okay. And so these are the things, man, that drives you crazy, right? But here's the thing. They could have, look, okay, in the live event, bro, we do stuff live, right? At the end of the day, stuff go wrong. It happens, right? I put the wrong clip on, right? It happens, right? It's live. But when you tape it and then you re-release it, you see what I'm saying? Why didn't they blank it out then? Right? That's the issue, my brother.
Right. What do people think?
Well, that's what I'm about to find out. So we got my man. Who is this? This is my boy, Rashawn. Mm-hmm. What did he say? He says, can I get it up here? There we go. He says the BAFTA producers also could have muted. They muted those shouting Free Palestine. Okay. See that? Exactly. You can mute that, but the N-word, we can't, you know, it's just a regular thing.
So let's do it like this, though. Let's just quickly unpack that. It was a 2-hour tape delay, right, on BBC One.
Correct.
And BBC One absolutely did Davis. I think Anna Nicola Davis got up there and won an award and said Free Palestine on stage. And they cut that. You never saw that.
Flat out.
Because they thought that it would, because my belief is, I'm not in production like that, but my belief is they felt like that would be incendiary or offensive to a broader audience. But you left the N-word in there because we should be cool. Like we should be the bigger man. You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't.
Stop a second.
Dehumanizing. Go ahead.
Stop a second. Free Palestine is more egregious than the N-word.
Yep.
On national TV.
Yep. International TV.
International. Thank you, buddy. International, right? So here we have Mojo, who says, did he have any other outbursts? Not that I know of, right? I'm talking about the guy who...
They said he was saying stuff constantly. It wasn't as incendiary and it wasn't as on brand for that. It was, like you said, elephant and whatever, because that's his... That's his thing.
I get that. So, but that's my point here, right? If he's ticking, you're going to say, so why you ain't saying the N-word all the time?
Right.
All right. Why you ain't walking down the street saying, you know, just going off? You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I don't care what nobody says, bro. Right, you can't convince me. Okay. You think it, and then you try to control yourself. Matter of fact, here, let's play this quick little clip. All right. I got a clip here of a brother who's got Tourette's syndrome. Okay, and let's see what he says.
A black man with Tourette's would say.
Now, as someone who's lived with Tourette's syndrome my entire life, I'm more than qualified to speak on this. What he said there was totally unacceptable, and I can understand the anger from black people. As a person living with Tourette's syndrome, I can't automatically call him a racist. Reason being, I've said a lot of things that I really didn't mean, and it was just, it's like when you think it, it wants to just come out your mouth. Growing up, and my mother could testify to this, I used to call my mother a stupid S-L-U-T all the time. And my mother understood that because, you know, in the beginning, she didn't understand how it worked. But being her child, eventually, she understood. That's how it works. It's hard to explain. Only people with Tourette's understand how other people with Tourette's work.
Okay, buddy. So what was the key thing he said, D?
That he couldn't call him a racist.
No, not that. I get that part. What was the he said about Tourette? What's the key thing? Oh,
that only people with Tourette's could understand what other people with Tourette's are going through.
He said that, but he said, when you think it, okay? He said that, okay? Yeah. When you think it, you can't control yourself from saying it.
Yeah.
Okay?
My feedback on that, unqualified. Let's just get the disclaimer. He. I don't know if he thought or believed his mom was an SLUT. I think he's just randomly saying things, buddy, and dude is randomly saying things.
So see, this is why I disagree, bro. Okay. Look, I can't say what he thought his mother, so let's be fair.
Here's the thing,
bro. Let's just be fair. We're all human, okay? Chris, you're not just, if you, and again, bro, I don't have it. But the mouth only is going to say what the brain tells it. What's on your mind is going to come out. If you can't control your actions, then you're going to say it. It's going to spit out, okay? Right. If you can. So look, let's be fair. If let's just be fair. How many times let's say you had a girlfriend and she was overweight, okay? And at the end of the day, you love her to death. She's your baby. Oh, my God. But then when you get mad, what's the first thing you say?
Absolutely.
Yo, fat ass.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, so stop. Now, you thought that plenty of time, but you didn't say it. But you thought it when you got mad. You see my point here?
So
all I'm saying is that you have to think it first.
Right.
He could have, what were you saying? Somebody asked a question, was he doing any other outbursts? He was saying a bunch of stuff. Okay, so why all of a sudden when these two black people in front of him, he says the N-word? I'm sorry, bro. That makes no sense to me.
The one thing, though, is that we have to acknowledge and salute that Ryan Coogler was the first black person to win Best Film as a director at the British Oscars. And he didn't say it then when that was announced. So it's like a sometimey, type of... It's not every time you see a black person, it's like a trigger.
Bro,
you
know what I'm saying? So hold on. I think I was talking to somebody about this. I think Rashawn, my man, earlier, right? And I was looking for the clip, but I can't find it. I remember, man, ABC had did a one of those specials on people with Tourette syndrome. Okay? This was back late 70s. Early, it was before I went to the military. So it might have been 1980. Might have been 79, 80. I went military 81. So it was before that. But it was around that time frame. Somebody look it up, okay? And at the end of the day, they had this dude, big dude too, who had Tourette. And he was walking around the neighborhood. They had a camera on him. And he was ticking. And then as soon as he saw the black people, he started saying the N-word.
Right. That's crazy, Tom.
So then they had him after he saw him. He was like, look, I would never want, and I'm not a racist person. I would never be, but blah. And I didn't buy it then. Sorry. He was ticking going off. But then as soon as he saw the black people, he started saying the N-word. So that tells you it had to be what he thought.
It's got to come from somewhere. I agree with you on that part.
And so look, I don't want to make a big deal, but I don't want to hear about I'm not this, I'm not that. This is making me do that. All those things could be true. So I'm not saying my man's a racist. I'm not saying he did it on purpose. I get it. I'm not. But you can't just say, I just said this word out of a lexicon. There's a billion words, a billion that you could have came up with and said. You said this at that moment with the bro. That part I don't buy.
So and I understand that and casting the responsibility on that individual, but I more blame the institution because of the way that they didn't protect the individuals. We're not gonna go into the Will Smith slap where he just sat back down. But these institutions, I mean, brothers can't keep going to these shows, Tony, if they're going to get accosted. I'm like, damn, we're going to have to march or something about brothers going to shows. Like, this is ignorant that they not protect them. But now let's switch lanes, because the Supreme Court just handed down a ruling that hits every household through prices, business costs, and limits of presidential power. And so this is about institutions as well.
Absolutely, man. And look, it's not just it's not only about institutions, but it's also about how, and you use the word power, okay? It's also about how people who become, go into the highest office of the land think that they're king. think that has no clue in terms of how, you know, our system, political system is supposed to work with three branches of government and this and that, and then the Supreme Court to the next. But to make sure we're all on the same page, let's make sure, let's share exactly what we're talking about.
To the fallout after the Supreme Court struck down President Trump's tariffs, the president lashed out at the justices and doubled down, signing an executive order to bypass Congress and impose new tariffs. Senior political correspondent Rachel Scott is at the White House. Good morning, Rachel.
Michael, good morning. And just moments ago, the president lashed out at the high court again, calling them incompetent, but he is defiant, insisting he has found another way to impose a 15% global tariff just days after the Supreme Court ruled that most of his tariffs were unconstitutional. Under this law, though, the president can only impose those tariffs for about 150 days without congressional approval, something he says he will not do. The Yale Budget Lab estimates that this could cost the average American family about $1,300 a year. The 6-3 decision knocked down the heart of the president's economic agenda. Three conservative justices, including two President Trump appointed, Neil Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett, joining the liberal justices to declare the president's tariffs unconstitutional. The president says that he is ashamed of those justices, calling them an embarrassment to their families. And of course, those justices will be seated just a few feet away from the president tomorrow at the State of the Union address, guys.
Okay, Rachel, thanks very much.
They have a right and a responsibility to defend the Constitution. He does things that are unconstitutional all the time.
But here's the thing, though, bro. What's funny is that if they rule for him, they're the greatest people on the planet.
Man,
all
man,
right.
Like a child, like
but
a
if
child,
they rule against him, then he's then no good. They're unpatriotic. They're clowns. They're embarrassment. I mean, buddy, from one day to the next, okay? And so that tells you what type of person you... And you
yes.
Look, we've said this a thousand times. I'm shocked that you don't see this type of behavior. That this dude, he'll throw anybody under the bus.
Yes, sir.
If he gets what he wants, he loves you, okay? If you fawn over him and make him feel special, you're the greatest person. Matter of fact, he'll give you a job.
Yep.
He'll take care of you, right?
Whether you qualified or not.
Whether you qualified or not. He'll give you a job. You know what I'm saying? All you gotta do is look at his administration. You see that, right? But at the end of the day, if you go against him in one thing, you're a buddy. It's all out war. He lashes out. And like you said, like a child.
Yeah. The problem is this, because of the office, because of the position, there should be a level of authority and accountability for the things that he says. Just like we talked about with my man, you have to have some level of accountability. He called the U.S. Supreme Court members treasonous and in foreign pockets. Like the irony of him calling the highest court in our land, one of the branches, treasonous, and that they are not acting in the best interests of the country. Some that should, in under normal circumstances, open an investigation. But because we don't believe, like we just let him say whatever and there's no checks and balance. Now that these checks and balance are starting to approach, when they say that he can only do this and then he has to get congressional approval, these checks and balances, because they let him go so far, he's offended now. Like,
buddy, wait a minute. And look, let's be fair here too, right?
Yes, sir.
There's been other presidents been upset at the Supreme Court when they don't, you know, when the ruling goes against them, right?
Yeah.
But my point I'm trying to make, and it's going to everything you're saying, right? This dude, he ain't for you. He's for himself. He's not for the country. He's for himself. So, and that proves it over and over again. And you could be a blind man. You don't have, it's just, you know, what's the sad part, bro, is people don't, his base don't see that. Okay, so I guarantee you there's people now throwing eggs at Justice Barrett's house and Justice
as expensive
Roberts.
As they are. As expensive right? as they are.
That, because they mad because Trump said these people ain't no good. They didn't go the way he wants. So now they probably got death threats. Okay, see, this is the point I'm trying to make here, right? This your president? So you think you got a kingdom that you can do whatever you want to do. Right. And nobody can say no. Nobody's saying, hey, you pushing the level. You're going beyond the bounds. You doing this. You doing that. You can't say that. All right. Like you said, it's the kind. See, this is you. Was this you? You said this a thousand times. Right. Everybody wanted to be for the Constitution, all right, when the until the Constitution don't work for them. When it don't work for you, oh, I can't believe that. What are they talking about? But if it's working for you, we just doing what the Constitution says. We just do we just following the law. We doing this and that. And so, buddy, it's just the phoniest of the phony. But hold on, bro. I got to go back because Reg put up something here. Excuse me. Reg put up something here about the ticks. What did he say here? He said people hide behind the scenes. The show was pre-recorded. Where are the edits, right? And that's just a fact. That's what we talked about, Reg. And we're dealing with a person with no shame, right? So one agree with you 100%, Reg, right? But at the end of the day, this is the president, right? Now, let me ask everybody this. Number one, there's a cost. This was positioned that it was going to drive more revenue for the country. It was going to bring back jobs that that went overseas. Companies would build more production factories because now they would just let's be all American. Let's buy American. Let's build in America in the whole nine yards. Right. That's what this was all about. That was the promise. We haven't seen none of that. At the end of the day,
go ahead, Tony. I got something, but man, I'm
sorry. Hold on, bro. I'm digging in my pockets right now, right? I'm gonna be like my man Eric B and Rakim, right? You know, when he said, "How can I move the crowd?" He's like, "What right. First of all, ain't no mistakes allowed." Was that the cut when he said he digged into his pockets and pulled nothing but lint?
Lint. Yeah.
So this is how people feel today. Once he put these tariffs on, the American people is the one paying the money.
That's correct.
The money's That's coming correct. Out of our pocket. Or if yes. the company is eating it themselves.
Yes.
Those are yes. the one or two scenarios. Okay, yes. to be fair. Right? Yes. So at the end of the day, we ain't seen none of that. Yes. None of it. And so now, and this was, let's be fair too, this was the crux of his economic plan, right? So this wasn't some frivolous thing, or this was some stuff on the side. This was his core economic plan. Here's the thing though, bro. You got all the lawyers in the world. You didn't think this through when you put this. See, this is why it wasn't even a strategy. It was, I'm going to do whatever I want to do and nobody can stop me. And I'm not going to do the research. You know, we'll do some research. We'll go around to the fringes. But at the end of the day, none of that happened. Okay. And then now you mad.
Well, see, here's the situation. He doesn't and he won't recognize that he works for the United States. He's not the United States. He believes that his interests are simultaneous with the United States' interests, and that's not factually correct. He said during his campaign, I'm going to go over to China and bring those jobs back here. Why? What are you talking about? It's not. What are you talking? He said he was going to bring back coal. Coal,
bro,
Tony.
Bro.
Coal.
They just did a show on. I don't know if you ever watched 60 Minutes. I wonder if Gail is watching. They did a segment last Sunday, just passed. And real quick, Rashawn says we had the wrong cut. It was paid in full.
Paid in full. Absolutely.
Paid in full, right? Exactly. It wasn't move the crowd. It was paid in full, right? And guess what? We're paying in full, all right,
man,
for the tariffs, right? But
and
at the end of the day, they did an episode on this county in West Virginia. But if you get a chance to look it up, if you guys get a chance, look it up. It was despicable, okay? These people, like, they are left behind. When they turn the water on, in their own houses, black water comes. This is the what? They don't even have drinking water. They got to use bottled water. This was a coal mine area. Okay? Right that. Nothing left. Okay? But they believed that, hey, he's going to bring this back. And I'm not going to say all of them because, to be fair, the county did earlier, they did vote for Obama. And then the last two elections, they flipped for Trump, or whatever the case may be, right? But at the end of the day, we know that ain't coming back. All right. We know a lot of these things ain't going to happen. Right. But so these people vote against themselves, their own interests. Okay. wanting to believe a dream that's not real. So look, bro, at the end of the day, this dude, and again, when you see it, it just makes me scratch my head. Like, how is he here?
Well, he's here because of the reflection of the country and the frustrations, then the stroke, the fear that they stroke, the fire, right? And so in the idea of I'm believing anything without fact checking, we always talk about fact checking, right? The concept of if you don't understand how tariff works, it was always going to be against you because the countries would be like, oh, I'm straight. I'm just not going to buy your soybeans. There's correct. Other places.
Correct.
And so, but the thing that we didn't think of is the my bad, okay? Here's the situation. Canada was the closest ally we had. Now they in with China because we was acting funny. And you've been in relationships before, Tony. When them shits go back, my grandma used to say this. Listen, baby, don't go in the refrigerator, get the milk, realize it's spoiled, put it back thinking when you come back later, it's going to be better unless you're trying to make cheese. That's just not how it works. We've spoiled relationships with some of our closest allies listening and following this dude. Somebody should have been spanking him every time he came up with these ludicrous things, but he's been going unfiltered and unhinged, and his people will say, that's what we love about him. He called women piggy. That's what we love about him. He just say it like it is. No, it's not. That's not what it is, and nor no, should man. It be.
Oh. Here's the other thing, though, too, bro. So a lot of times you let people do what you let them do that because you have a bigger strategy in mind. Okay? So I give you an example. It was my man. He's like 89 years old. He's not the leader of the Senate any longer, but Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell, absolutely.
Okay? Mitch McConnell, right? And so at the end of the day, was he a Trump guy? No. But he supported him because he could, stack the Supreme Court. That was his thing. And to get more federal judges, across the country. So we'll let him do this, right? Because we'll get what we want out of it, right? And so a lot of times that's the case, right? We'll use him. And that's what I'm trying to say. This dude, I think my girl Mary Broomall said this, right? End of the day, this ain't all him. This is Pete. He's a puppet. Okay. Right. And then at the end of the day, there's people behind the scenes that's really coming up with the strategy, right? To try to remake America. That's really what that's the bigger strategy, right? That's the bigger strategy, right? This America first. See, because here's the thing, what you guys just got finished saying about Canada and all this type of stuff. Well, guess what? They don't care about that because at the end of the day, they feel that everybody will just bow down to America, okay? And so we don't have to wipe their feet. We don't have to shake their hands. We ain't got to do none of that because we're so powerful and mighty that all they do, we just tell them what time it is and then they'll fall by the side and say, oh, okay, whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? And the world, it don't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
Flat out, bro. Let's be fair. I remember this back growing up in the crib. This is in Detroit. All right, so this is a little bit different versus the allies from a political standpoint. I'm gonna tell you about the street allies.
Okay.
So I remember, bro. I think I was in high school. I was a freshman. There was this big dude. This dude was like, I don't know, 6'8", maybe 240, 250. Right? And he was messing with these little dudes, right? And I don't mean they were little. They're my size, but they wasn't big as him, okay? But he was terrorizing these dudes, right? Because he thought he was the biggest dude on campus, right? And then, so the next thing you know, and it was these twins, right? And they were little stocky little dudes, but they were short, but they were twins, right? And I'll never forget this, right? So he chastising, going after, it was like seven of them. Okay? And he was like, I'll stomp a mud hole in your asses, blah, blah, blah. And so he grabbed one of the twins and slammed him, right? Then the next thing you know, the other twin came and grabbed him, picked him up, and slammed him. Then all seven of them start stomping him. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then one dude, they stomped him where my man just passed out, right? Mm-hmm. And one of them just said, I told you about talking shit when you ain't got no backup. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. That's how this dude is thinking. He's thinking because he think we're the big dudes and that we can just go around and bully anybody. Mm-hmm. Okay? And at the end of the day, if you don't have allies, If you don't have people to have your back, I don't care how big you think you are. Somebody's going to get you because they can get you collectively. That's how this dude lost, because he thought he was just the biggest guy on the plant on the street. But all these little dudes joined up together. And that's where we're going to end up at, man, because you're right. Here's the thing, too. If we want to attack somebody, what do we got to do? If we want to attack Iran or we want to attack another country, what do? We just go attack them? What do we have to do?
We got to get permission.
We got to get, but we got to get with our allies. We got to ask, can we fly over their airspace? We got to ask, can we use their land as a staging ground? We got to ask, you see my point here? Okay. So you ain't got none of that. Okay. Now all of a sudden you're on your own. Okay. And so, and again, I'm going to the extremes, but my point I'm trying to make is that, you know, we're in a situation where the president of the United States acts like a crybaby because his main economic, you know, signature got squashed by the Supreme Court. And I get it. You want to be you upset in the whole nine yards. But at the end of the day, to just and to be fair, are you surprised, bro? Let me ask you a question. Are you surprised that he acted that way?
Not at all. That's his get down. That's what he's the tiger, like you said. He's the tiger that bit 30 people. The concept, though, is he's doing it for personal gain because his economic portfolio personally has grown based on these moves. He's following a playbook for himself, not for the United States of America. Number two, and more importantly, when Mitch McConnell was putting these things in place, he was putting it in place for the benefit of the party. The MAGAs have poisoned the well of the GOP. You can attest to this. The conservatives and all that, what it used to be, they have poison.
Ain't no more
well.
Of that.
There's a Latin term called chaos studios ipsos. Who's going to guard the guardians? And so when you have people that's supposed to be, they were turned on or this has gone too far, and now it's hard to rein it back in because we're losing people, not just Canada, not just some of these other. We going against Puerto Rico. Like, we going against people there's no reason for us to go against.
I mean, Greenland.
Greenland.
I mean, Greenland. You kidding me?
And then you got friends. So just like with your buddy, just like with your situation from Detroit, when we start talking shit against Greenland, France was like, oh, no, you won't send some people over there.
But there you go, though, right? And then, so what does that make them do? They start saying, you know what? We can't trust these motherfuckers.
They trust them,
all right? Yes. So we got to start having a contingency plan that we ain't going to count on the U.S. That's just a fact. That is a fact, right? Who wouldn't do that? Who wouldn't do it?
Anybody smart.
Oh, these guys, we know what? We got to have a contingency plan. So let's see what some of the peeps out here saying. So Red says what? MAGA thinks that they're sacrificing for the greater good of America. They're brainwashed. You know that's right. And then my boy Rashawn says, let's not ignore that many of these congressional Republicans are happy to hide behind Trump. Absolutely. This is what they want. Right? Absolutely. Right? And then he says 100% here. He says 100% I agree with Tony. And then Reginald says Project 2025 is in full. That's the thing.
That's the thing.
That's absolutely the bigger strategy.
Absolutely.
All right. That's the bigger strategy. We'll let him scream and holler and stomp his feet. Okay. But at the end of the day, that's what they're trying to implement. All right. Absolutely. And so all this other stuff, this buddy, come on. It's just how it works. I mean, and so you got to know this. You have to understand that you got to see what's that old saying? You got to see how the chessboard is played. Then absolutely. If you're playing checkers, you lost. Okay. You need to be playing chess here. Go ahead, buddy.
The danger is you are a father and there are rules that are abided by in your home. And so when your children break the rules and you correct them, the thing for them to do is apologize and say that they either misunderstood or they had a lapse of judgment or whatever the case may be. What your children shouldn't do is, oh, I'm gonna do it anyway and stay here. You doing that with the tariffs? You doing that with the tariffs? I should have never came and asked you anyway, Supreme Court. I should have never involved y'all. I should have never even got y'all involved because I can do what I want to do.
I can do what I want to do, bro. But again, though, bro, they're telling them he can do what he wants. Okay, see, this is the thing. When you have somebody that has that type of psychological makeup, they want to hear. Here's the thing, bro. His first 4 years, he had people that believe it or not, they believed in him. Okay. I don't know why, but let's be fair. They right. thought he was going to be the better choice between him and Hillary Clinton. Okay. And you vote. Look, we, okay. But then when they saw what he was doing or what he wanted to do, they were trying to hold him accountable. Right. And so, and then he didn't want that. So then this time, that's where you get the Fox News people and all these getting high ranking, you know, positions. I'm just going to be around yes people. All right. I'm going to put yes people around me that ain't going to even try to talk me up. I can trust them. They're not going to go behind my back and spill stuff to the press. All that type stuff. Right. But he don't recognize you still got Supreme. And then what my man Rashawn said flat out. And then you got the congressmen, they're scared. All right. Because they don't want to say nothing because then he attacks them. OK. Yep, yep, and then here's the thing. They're not really about taking care of their constituents. They're trying to keep a job. OK. Yep. And see, here's the this is the thing. These people who go to you vote them in and they're like, I'm here I'm representing you. No, you not. You're trying to keep a job. All right. Because if you really wanted to represent me, you would be honest and push back. And if this dude attacked you, I would imagine your people who really they're the one that voted you in. And if they believed in you, they would re-vote you in. And guess what? If you didn't get voted in, you'll find another job. All right? You go somewhere else. You do your own thing. But that ain't the case. Because I'm getting this free health care. Because I'm a congressman. All right? When they shut the government down, I still get paid. All right? So I wouldn't give this up. All right? I keep this job. Right? And so so they're hiding. They scared. Okay. And then, but you still got the Supreme Court. And let's be fair. They've already let a couple his that gave him immunity. Okay. Yep. To be fair, they gave him immunity, which he should have. All those crimes.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
But, and then he should be happy with that.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Bro. Here's the situation though, Tony. Here's the situation. You talked about his first term. Ironically, the people that were abiding by the checks and balanced end up either getting fired or going to jail. Like we tend to forget, a lot of them people went to jail. A lot of his people that was with him went to jail and got fired.
Buddy, flat
so
out.
The new, so the, yeah. So,
hold on.
So
he, wait a minute. Hold on. Not only that,
his wake of destruction that first term was horrible.
Buddy, hold on. Hold on. He turned on them.
Yes.
The dude, think about it. The dude turns, he will, it reminded me, it was funny, I remember, remember old Jeffersons, you remember George Jefferson?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was one of those episodes where, you know, George was, you know, he had all these dry cleaners, and he wanted, I think the Willises. The Willises had, you know, they were a mixed marriage, and then they had a son that was white. And then and they thought that he had a warehouse, all right, that George wanted for one of his, cleaners, right? So George thought he thought the sister had the rights to the warehouse. So he was being all cuddled to her, right? Buddy, it was a great scene, right? So he's standing in the middle. He's got his arm around the sister saying, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then she said, oh, Mr. Jefferson, I don't own that warehouse. Reggie does over here. And he did this. Just like that.
Absolutely.
All right. And that's this dude. That's this dude. He'll throw anybody under the bus. He wants loyalty, but won't give loyalty. All right. Hey, buddy. And how can you follow somebody like that? Okay. It's insane. It's insane.
Because it's nerve wracking. It's once again, like you said, you don't know when the next shoe is going to drop. You're constantly, just like our allies or our former friends, they have no idea what to expect. Therefore, you have people that some leaders do have people that they have to support and listen to and protect. And in order to protect their interest, they got to do what's best for their country, Canada. You know what I'm saying? These different places, because what the last thing they want is for him to kick in doors at night and start taking more presidents.
Buddy, flat out.
Like, this is crazy.
I mean, buddy, it's insane. And again, though, but if you just caught up, if all you're thinking about is you're just looking, like I said, you're playing checkers, right? I believe in him. Whatever he said, like you said earlier, I love he speaks his mind. And that's what people vote for. Okay, to be honest, they don't vote for all the other stuff, right? And so when you have cult figures, or you have a cult, I'll say it that way, because that's what it is, to be fair, right? When you have that, you can do, the person thinks he can do anything he wants. And the people, which really sad, man, which really sad, they vote against their own interests.
Interest, absolutely.
It's just the saddest thing I ever seen in my life. You're not getting nothing. This dude don't care about you. Right. All right. Not, but you'll go to a rally. He'll tell you he does. He'll right. tell you he does. But buddy, and look, man, let's be fair. You know, we're around the same age. We've all seen presidents. We've all had presidents we liked. We've all had presidents that we didn't like. We had presidents that we voted for. We had presidents that we didn't vote for. But at the end of the day, even if the ones that you didn't vote for, right, they was never on this level.
No.
All right?
No.
Never. Never.
No.
And sometimes they turned out to be okay. Right? And so it's that's the part that drives me crazy here, okay? Because at the end of the day, it's like these are unprecedented times. What it's not just here, it's international, it's here, it's all over the place. And here's the thing, man, as we get ready to close, you and I, we come on to talk about a bunch of different stuff, right? And there's a million other things going on that we would love. I'm sitting back always saying, oh man, you know, Tuesday, we're going to talk about this. Next Tuesday, we're going to talk about that. Next Tuesday, we're going to talk about this. But you can't, because this dude, he's always got some, and you have to bring it up. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we wouldn't be doing our service as keeping people informed of what time it is, right? And throwing the cards down and giving the facts, right? But it's hard not to. You know, somebody said this, man, I never forget it, and I didn't even understand it, but I said it. This was years ago, and I said something about, I try to keep politics out of business or kind of keep politics out of this. And somebody said something I never forget. They was like, how can you do that? Because it affects everything you do, right? It affects everything you do. And I never forgot that, my brother, never.
We've had some presidents that we didn't necessarily agree with or didn't understand the strategy at the time. The one thing that's different here that I can hang my hat on is that I am not strong enough, you're not strong enough, and America is not strong enough to hold the bag that he's going to leave for us to have to hold. Because he's going to leave us holding the bag. That's guaranteed. He's left his colleagues and friends in first term holding the bag in jail or fired or disgraced. He's going to leave this country holding the bag because he doesn't have a real plan. And unfortunately, I don't believe this country's strong enough to recover from some of the weight that's being put on us now internationally and domestically. I believe that him creating a private army in the form of Department of Homeland Security to make sure that he doesn't have to have a peaceful transition of power, because that's what's going to happen. They're all going to show up next time when he says, you know what? I think that under me, everybody loved, because he lies all the time, and now we've just gotten used to it, and everybody loved it. Nobody really wants this. We shouldn't have elections and all these other things that they're putting in place to kind of set it up for 3 years from now. If you look at history as a historian, this is what happened in Rome. The general thought that Augustus Caesar thought that he was going to be ousted or overthrown. So he brought all his generals back from the periphery to secure the city. And then when he was voted out, he was like, no, thank you.
I ain't going nowhere.
And then what you going to do? Because now we're here. So now we have to make the best of a bad situation. And unfortunately, the motto or the way things are looking now is that we're destined to just continue to make the best of a bad situation, because the situation is bad. I don't know who we would talk to that would honestly say the situation is good or it's better. He's still talking about the president from three times ago.
Buddy, he's still.
You won.
He's still bringing up old buddy. It's the saddest thing. It's But here's the thing, though, bro.
Yes,
and
sir.
I want to ask this to our audience. Guys, we talked about when we started this session today, this episode today, we talked about how these stories were related. And we spoke about power without guardrails. OK, and obviously we kicked it off with the Bathra thing, with the Tarek, you know, the tick. I'm sorry. And then now we're talking about the president, right, in terms of him, you know, being upset and having a temper tantrum because the Supreme Court didn't go his way, right? So you may think like, oh, wait, how are these two things, how are they related? okay? And I want you to think them through. Because at the end of the day, even though the gentleman did what he did, and it was unintentional, it wasn't intentional, but at the end of the day, there was still no repercussions.
That's correct.
They were still, I mean, they just did it. and then apologized to the audience, didn't apologize, say nothing to Delroy and Michael B. Jordan, and then played it, it was taped, and then played it again without editing. Like, we can do what we want to do. And more importantly, we take out Free Palestine, but we don't take out the N-word? What is that? Right? So again, we do what we want to do. And this situation ain't all that bad. What's the big deal? Blah, 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 blah. And then the same thing here, right? Now, this is not them running a country, but at the same time, you have people that feel they can do whatever they want to do. And they don't want to be held accountable. And if you hold them accountable, they start coming up with excuses. Okay? Oh, you know, he didn't mean to do that. He has a tick. I don't want to hear that. All right? Oh, you know, the Supreme Court won't let me do. No! No! You can't do it. Okay? They're not. Now they're sorry. So we love to hear, continue to hear from you guys. Right? Let us know your thoughts. But more importantly, we really appreciate you joining this episode of BEP Live. You guys have been fantastic. We love your enthusiasm. And keep the comments coming. And look, guys, Chris and I, we would love to hear some stuff from you guys in terms of what you want us to throw down on, because we're all for it, right? We're here to this is a people platform, okay? And we want to have some of you people on here to share your perspectives and the whole nine yards. So keep them coming. But we really love you guys a lot.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that you stated is that it exposes what happens when institutions move too fast and they cause harm. Both instances, they were in a hurry, something happened, they didn't think it through, and it has repercussions and harm to us. But then, instead of providing justification and an understanding, they just act like you should get over it. Hey, that's what, or I'm going to do it anyway. Just, hey, I'm here, and at the next thing, I might have an opportunity. Man, you need to be better. Because I'm not going to be. And that's sad coming from the leader of the free world. It's definitely sad coming from somebody who can't help themselves. But we keep thinking that he can when he keeps showing us, as Trump, that he can't. Trump can't help him. No different than that man with that
with the tick, right?
Absolutely.
He might as well be ticking.
He got a case of the can't help us, like my wife say. He got a case of the can't help us. So that's for sure.
Well, I got this real quick comment. I guess my boy Peter is on here. Sheriff Peter, right? He was like, Chris, Tony, you guys are on fire. Love listening to what you guys are learning. I think that's Peter. My man, Sheriff Pete. I think so. It might be another Peter. Whatever, kiss me, Pete. Whatever. Pete, thank you for that, man. We really appreciate it. But we're only as good as you guys coming and checking us out.
Absolutely. Yep. Keep bringing it, though. Keep bringing it. And so as we close out today, we want to make sure that we remind you to check out other things on the platform. Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burton, a mixed executive perspective each Wednesday with Grace Food and Corey. And then obviously Pull Up, Speak Up, the roundtable that we have with a series of panelists that talk about hot topics just like this, but you get more live action, you know, going back and forth and things of that nature. This would have been a great one. We'll have some great ones in the future, but we absolutely want to thank you for coming through and tuning in with us. And, you know, we just couldn't do it without you. So make sure you keep coming back. Tell somebody to come back with you and listen and engage, because without the engagement, this just doesn't work.
Absolutely. And as Chris talked about, check out our shows. Also, we have our Podcast Academy. Anybody out there who want to learn the skills in terms of how to be able to start their own podcast, check us out. We have a new cohort starting on March 7th. If you're interested, or if you know somebody that's interested who's looking to start their podcast, please DM Chris or myself. Let us know. We love them to be a part of it. But more importantly, as Chris stated, we want to thank you guys for being here. And then obviously, I want to thank the co-host with the most, my man down in Dallas, Chris B. Reed. I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We learned about it. We laughed about it. We kind of ticked about it, all right, on both sides, right? We love to hear from you guys about it. But more importantly, absolutely, we love you guys a lot. And guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.